Welcome to Finding Your Right Mind with me, Vanessa Potter. Coming up is the second interview in Series 2, and here I talk to Ashley Frater, who recently turned 30.
Thank you so much for having me. I am a confidence coach by profession, and currently I am 30, but I will be turning 31 in 4 weeks' time.
God, I remember 30. I was in a precarious relationship, had mostly single friends, a few living together, and I was headlong full into my career. But 30 felt like a step up, like I had reached a higher bar of some kind. I was still having fun, but there seemed to be a new set of rules appearing. These rules suggested I needed to look more towards the future rather than just the fun present that I was living in. 30 felt like a transition into something else, but I wasn't quite sure what that something else was. Spending the last few months recording these interviews, it became apparent that these were not your average conversation. The questions I was asking were designed to be uncomfortable. They were designed to be a bit challenging and to bring to the fore the outpourings of all of that auditing that we tend to do naturally around a decade birthday. So a little more on where those questions came from. I decided to canvass women I know. I asked them if they could go back in time and ask themselves some pretty pertinent questions about their lives at the time, what would they ask? So the questions I ask each woman are those questions, and many focus on how we really feel about ourselves deep down, where we fit into society, and the expectations others have of us. I asked questions that made these women think about things they hadn't thought about in years. These interviews are important. Women don't think that they're wise. We don't think that we have accrued a lifetime of wisdom. But these interviews have shown me we absolutely do. And I am so glad that I'm getting to share them with all of you. As always, if you like what you hear, please do subscribe. And I'd love to hear what you think of this series. Do give feedback and leave a review.
Okay, so thank you so much for having me. I am a confidence coach, and my background is actually in events. So event planning was my biggest achievement, should we say, as a career. And currently I am 30, but I will be turning 31 in 4 weeks' time.
So we just got in.
Yeah, literally, just made it.
Fantastic. And it's been a strange year with a pandemic. It has affected everybody in varying ways. How's the last year been for you, and being 30 during a pandemic? What have you reflected on?
Well, the actual plan was for me to actually celebrate my 30th birthday last year with a party. For my 25th birthday, I was like, I'm going to be 30. I'm saving my big birthday till I'm 30, planning it. Luckily, I didn't actually put any money down on a venue or anything like that. But emotionally, I planned for 30 to be my big birthday. And that was obviously meant to be last year, May. And we went into lockdown in March. So that really put a real huge spanner in the works, not just, you know, physically of not being able to celebrate, but emotionally, because I had almost postponed every single birthday up until my 30th from 25, and saving all of those celebrations to the one big one. And it didn't even happen. Like, I did a Zoom family thing, but it just was nowhere near what I thought it was going to be. And I think I've learned that you have to be grateful for every single year that you have, and do what you want to do in that year of what you have like currently, not waiting until like a really big thing, a big birthday or a big age, which you know think is a big age, milestone age, to then celebrate. So really being present. So last year, it was quite a difficult year, to be quite honest with you, especially around my 30th. It's just, it was meant to be a year of celebration in so many ways, and it just did not feel like it at all in so many other ways. So it was hard. It really was so difficult.
Do you think you had some expectations of what 30, you know, in inverted commas, was going to bring you?
I think I did. I think I really thought that, I don't know, you become an adult when you're 30, but technically not really, because you're an adult from what, technically 18 legally, but not really. So I feel like, yeah, there's a lot of like expectations of things changing, of life going in a different direction, of hitting a particular age where, you know, apparently magical things happen when they don't. Like life continues and you almost feel the same. You really do. You just, you know, your body is just aging and so is your brain. That's truly what the differences are. And I think I definitely had a lot of expectations of being 30 and the changes that potentially would happen, when in reality, nothing changed. Nothing. Very little changed. Very, very little changed.
And where do you think those expectations come from?
100% society. Like 100%, because you're always, you know, the movies you watch, the people, like, you know, people you talk to, you have celebrities, you have all different walks of life, and they talk about certain milestones ultimately. And then even when you go to like a card shop, you have certain ages that are on cards because they're milestone numbers to celebrate. So you're almost like conditioned to celebrate the big milestones, and kind of almost the in-between ones are kind of forgotten about because they're not highlighted in your kind of everyday life. And it makes you then, you know, live your life to those expectations or those parameters that people have put out, whoever started this and, you know, thought of it for the first time. And then, yeah, you live within those conditions. So I think 100% society create those limited kind of thinking and those expectations that we are conditioned to live by. You know, it is a choice though, but now I know that.
And how does it feel kind of having gone through that feeling of expectations and then it not quite turning out and not going quite the way you maybe thought it was going to, and this realization that it's society pushing this? How does that make you feel?
It's disappointing. Because, of course, when you set an expectation, you expect to fulfill it. And when that expectation is not fulfilled, you naturally feel disappointed that you almost, you know, you weren't able to accomplish what you set out to do. But because this expectation is not even real, it's not even yours, it's almost, it's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. Like, it's just never attainable because it's not something you've personally set. It's just something that you almost are conditioned to set without even knowing that that's your conditioning, you know? And it is, it's a level of disappointment unnecessarily. Like, I could have thought about my 30th birthday as like, it's just, it's, I'm going to celebrate every single one of them, not just wait from 25 to 30 to celebrate it, but to celebrate the day, the years in between. And I obviously didn't choose to do that. But now I've learned that like 31, I'm, you know, it's still a bit restricted, but I'm still going to celebrate as much as I can because I'm not going to wait until I'm 40 to celebrate my next birthday. Like, who knows? You don't know when your last day is. You really don't. And you have to just be grateful for every single day as well as year that you make it. And I've just learned to be more grateful, 100%.
Can you tell me, looking back over your life to now, which is only 30, of course, looking back, what have you found yourself most proud of? What are you most proud of in your life?
I am really most proud of my independence. because I am an only child. So you would think that I'd be very independent anyway. But I have a really close family. So my mum is one of five. And then her brothers and sisters, they've all had, you know, around one or two children each. So my immediate family, we're very close. And there's quite a lot of us. So I've never felt alone, although I'm an only child. I've never felt like I'm on my own. I've got to do things for myself. Like, I've never felt like that, because I've always had someone there. I've always had my mum there to emotionally, you know, help me and in so many ways save me in so many different situations. And I think, especially, I bought my first house two years ago now, and I bought it with my partner. But I find that, you know, having bills in your name and all of those first things, like, it's quite, you know, it's very eye-opening. Like, you realize that you're now responsible for a house and bills and all those other things. And I realized that I became really wanting to do things on my own. So not always wanting my mum to be like, oh, could you help me out with this? And like, asking for help is quite difficult for me, because I feel like I've been so protected and I, you know, insulated so much, which is, you know, amazing and comfortable and beautiful. But then when you're stepping out as an adult, it's really hard to not consistently rely on and depend on others to help you. It's sometimes very simple things. And I feel like I'm a really driven, ambitious person. So I like to do things on my own. And, you know, in some ways it's got me in trouble where I could have said something before it got really bad, kind of thing. And I'm just like saying it. But I think it's the independence that I've learned to have and to actually be okay being alone, especially last year. Like, I learned the beauty of being by myself at times and being okay with that. Whereas before, I've always been scared of being alone when I've never had the chance to be alone, if that makes sense. So yeah, independence is definitely one of my biggest achievements at all. Completely.
Great. Can you tell me a time when you've been brave in your life? And is there a situation or a story around that?
I would say the time that comes to mind, to be honest, probably was buying my house, in all honesty. Although, you know, I did it also with my partner. That's like the very first time that I've been fully independent again and completely responsible. I went to uni, but it's still very cushioned when you go to uni, you know. So I think being brave to be able to know that and trust myself, you know, to trust that, can I commit to this? Can I really commit to it without, and knowing that the mortgage people, the banks, they're not going to my mom, they're coming to me. Like, the buck stops here. And being fully committed to this responsibility, and I think that, and I really, you know, deliberated for a very long time about whether or not it's something that I could do, and I truly decided, like, yeah, I can do this, I'm an adult, I can get on with, you know, be responsible. So I think it really, really took, and even in that process of buying the house, that took a lot of courage, because there was many ups and downs. Like, buying a house is definitely not a walk in the park. There's a lot of ups and downs. And even in that, like, learning to ask for help, learning to, like, you know, speak out, all of those things, all of those skills that I didn't really ever really have to do. And because it's so not me as well, almost trying to prove something to myself, it was really difficult. And it took a lot of courage for me to be brave enough to be able to do that and to really commit to this new responsibility that I decided to have. So yeah, 100%, I would say my house is one of my biggest achievements and also one of my bravest moments.
Wonderful. Ashley, What's your life motto? Is there a phrase that you absolutely live by?
I think there's a few phrases, but the one that comes to mind primarily is everything happens for a reason. That's my biggest motto. I've always said, because, you know, you get into situations, circumstances happen, and you think, oh, this is, I just shouldn't have done this, or this shouldn't have happened to me. And it's like, well, no, it should have, because it was meant to, and it's meant to teach you a lesson. And I always see in any situation lessons in them, because life is a whole lesson, to be very honest with you. Everything that happens, despite how painful some things are, it's happened so that you can pay attention to it and to learn for it, learn from it moving forward, and hopefully not make the same mistake. And if you do, you're meant to learn from that as well. So I think, yeah, everything happens for a reason. It's definitely my life's motto, 100%.
Can you tell me what doesn't matter and should never have mattered?
Immediately, I want to say other people's opinions, because especially when I was young, you know, as when you're in secondary school, when you're in primary school, you want to fit in. That's all you want to do is fit in. You want to, you know, belong somewhere. And I got so, I want to say, crippled with other people's opinions and judgments of me that it changed who I was as a person. And I now know that, and I've grown into like my confidence, but I now know that it doesn't matter. Like, everybody has an opinion, and everyone will continue to have one. Your, you know, your family, your friends, whoever will have a judgment of what you're doing. Whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. But to me, the difference now is that it doesn't alter what I do, despite the opinion that they have. Whereas before, it would completely change my entire like life itself. Decisions I wouldn't make because someone else didn't approve of them. And then feeling pure anxiety afterwards, because clearly I wanted to make the decision, but because it wasn't approved, I'm not doing it. And not living in, you know, in my authenticity on who I am and what I stand for. So now I just believe that, yeah, you can take other people's opinion, you pick and choose what they are based on who they are and what it is and the value they have to you and of the situation as well, especially if it's advice or something like that. But always make your decisions first, always have your opinion first, always take your opinion and trust it. And then if you need another perspective, you ask outside of you and be specific as to who you ask. So that's only how it potentially could matter to a degree, but not really. Your decision matters first and only, and then you can choose as a bonus if others, you know, opinions also then matter to you. But never take someone's opinions first and disregard your own. Absolutely no. That's what I've learned.
Great. Can you tell me, what did a parent or a wise guardian tell you when, maybe when you were a child, that as you've grown older, you have seen to be absolutely right?
Oh gosh, so many to pick from. I think my mum, and she got that from my nan, that you always bet on yourself, always depend on yourself. Because again, a bit like the approval thing and, you know, the judgment, others naturally, you know, they have their own agenda, whether not in a negative way, but everybody has their own views of life. And then they naturally filter through their thoughts and their decisions through their personal view. So if someone else's personal view is not the same as yours, which it never will be because we're all individual, then they could lead you in a path that's good for them, but not good for you. So depending, learning to depend on other people's opinions and decisions and them personally all the time is never a good decision for you as a person. So they've always said that, you know, always depend on you, always bet on yourself, like trust in yourself as well, because, you know, everybody knows what to do, but they're just scared of the result of it. And it doesn't matter what the result is, you can find a way. You're resourceful. Like, and I know that I have a good head on my shoulders, which they have grown me in that way, to trust and be responsible and present yourself well and all of those things growing up. And I feel like they're absolutely right, because when you're a child, you think, trust in yourself, what does that mean? Like, you have no idea what that means. You just think, oh, it's just mom talking. Like, you have no idea what that means. But now, being an adult at 30, I've learned, like, it's so true. There's so many, and there's so many people you meet. I'm coming from a Black Caribbean family. With their experiences, especially my nan, she came from Jamaica, and she came to work here, and she experienced a lot when she got here. And I think she's definitely learned, and her spirit is so strong. Like, she's just such a positive person, and a lot of our family get our strength from her. And it's because of all the things that she has gone through to get us to where we are. And she's had to learn to trust in herself and, of course, her circle, her family, her support system, and to learn to be really resilient. And so has my mom also throughout her life as well. And I think just that wisdom, that experience that they have gone through and then passing that down to me, they understand that life from our perspective in the country that we're in, it's not always going to be fair. It's not always going to, you're not always going to be seen in the way that you, who you are. People will see your skin color and maybe your name first before they ever even hear your voice and what value that you have to bring. And you're always fighting that all the time. So they know that there, you know, other people have other motives, you know, and trust in your instincts, trust in yourself. When you know there's something that's not right, that you speak on that and you challenge it in a polite way. There's no, you know, there's no shouting or anything like that. And my family are not swearers, so there's no swearing as part of your language. It's using plain English, communicating politely, but still making your point and standing up for yourself. And that's truly, really the wisdom that I've got from my mom and my nan specifically, that I will then pass down, of course, to my children too, and anyone else that I come into contact with, because it's just such a strength that no one can take away from you.
Female wisdom. You can see why I've called this series that.
Yeah.
You've just absolutely embodied exactly what I feel by that.
Yeah.
The other side to this question, though, is quite interesting. What has a parent or wise guardian told you that you've realised was completely and utterly wrong?
That you don't always have to work hard. Sounds very unpopular opinion. But, you know, again, coming from a Black Caribbean family, working hard is something that everybody things that you have to do in order to get anywhere. You have to work super, super hard. And when there's a difference between working hard and burning out, and I think that is what I've seen, especially in my mum. She's a really hard worker, really, really hard, to the point of burnout. Like, she, you know, and I now know that you don't have to work hard to burn out. But if you love what you do, you naturally work hard at it anyway. It's when you're working hard at something that you don't like to prove something. That is what I don't agree with. And I don't believe is true. Like, I believe that working hard, one, you don't have to burn out in order to prove something. Like, you don't need to do that. Because I also know that, like, self-care is so important. And so is mental health. And that's something that I am completely, like, behind and fight for myself and see the importance of it. And I just feel that my mom, she doesn't necessarily see that based on her experience. So I, you know, I respect her experience, but And I think now she's starting to see the difference as I'm teaching her myself. But I just don't feel like you have to burn yourself out as a way of working hard to prove something to someone else, whether it's an employer, whether it's a family member, it doesn't matter who it is, because you're not proving it to yourself. Because no one wants to work that hard. No one wants to work that hard when the quality of life that you have at the end of your working day is nothing that you're celebrating at all. You know, push hard for a project, push hard for a particular goal, but not just keep pushing hard for pushing hard's sake, you know, or for someone else's sake specifically. That truly doesn't even matter. Like, their value doesn't affect your life in that way, or the impact of your life. So I just believe that working hard to burn out is just nothing that I aspire to continue to believe. Absolutely not.
That's great. And good advice.
Yeah.
Ashley, what makes you feel safe?
Love. Love makes me feel safe. Because with love comes trust and vulnerability. And those are all ingredients of that create safety, like concepts that create safety, emotional safety, as well as physical safety. Like having someone hug you, you just feel immediately safe because that person loves you, that person that you love and they love you. You feel like anything can happen in the world and it's fine. Like, you know, and even when you're feeling upset, and you're able to trust someone and be vulnerable with that person and know that they're able to give you the emotional help that you need in that time because of the love that you both have for each other, that's unconditional. That's what makes me feel safe. Having that unconditional love, which creates, you know, has the trust and the vulnerability as well.
Fantastic. And again, the other side to that question, what's your biggest fear?
I would say my biggest fear is not... My biggest fear... Fear is a very interesting one. I want to say, again, being alone is a fear. I don't know. Is it a fear? I don't want to be alone, but I know that I can be alone, you know? Okay. So I feel my biggest fear is a time where I'm not able to access my emotions. Because to me, knowing how you feel gives you power, or it disempowers you. Like, it either gives you control or it doesn't give you control. And I'm always about moving forward, always about progressing. And I think the fear of not potentially being able to access my emotions, because obviously we're always emotional, but learning to have that awareness, which I have, and have the access, because I've done so much work in emotions and emotional intelligence and things like that, and I know the power of them. If at any point I'm unable to, and there's sometimes some days that I'm just like, I just don't know how I feel, and I don't like that. I don't like that discomfort in it, because I almost feel like I'm then very open to things like, you know, life circumstances happening, and me not being aware enough to know where I sit with it emotionally. So, like, you know, building that trust again. So yeah, I feel like it's that fear of not being able to access my emotions specifically, because yeah, everything else I feel is, yeah. And you know, a simple one could be failure. You know, if you're failing, of course everyone has that, which is also you know, it is a version of not being able to access emotions, like failing to access my emotions as well. So yeah, so it's a bit of a two-turn. So fear of failure to access my emotions.
And in life, what does success look like for you?
Success looks like having a happy, loving family unit, spending time with like family and being present, not just physically being there, but also mentally being in the moment. And I feel like it also couples with wealth, but wealth not necessarily money-based, but more the wellness of me as a human being. So like mentally being well, physically being well, emotionally being well, like that's the other level of like success. That's how I see success, is full wealth in a wholesome way, as well as having the time and the moments with, and the experiences with family and loved ones. Because at the end, that's the thing that I know I'm going to think about. Like, how did I spend time with my children and husband and family and mom and things like that? And even now, looking back, like, how did I spend time with my nan? My nan's getting older, a lot older. And I think about it all the time, like thinking about her words, thinking about the conversations that we had, thinking about our experiences, like we've gone out shopping and all the small things that, and those are the things that you remember, and not like the money or the material things. So really just being present is successful to me.
Ashley, what's an opportunity that you've missed?
I would say not starting my business earlier, for sure, because of fear of not knowing how a lot of the time, if it's going to be successful, all of these things. And I really wish I trusted myself more a lot earlier to start, not even based on the outcome of like starting a business, but more about building that relationship with myself. I'm finding out more about who I am more and what I'm capable of earlier. A lot earlier. I feel like I wish I did. And I feel like that's definitely an opportunity missed. Because, you know, you think about it, you think, oh no, not now, maybe when I'm a little older, and you know, it's not the right time, and all of those things. And it's like, no, if it came in, it's the right time. Like, intuitively, it's time. Like, this is what you should be doing. But I've learned a lot from that time until now, to be able to look back and say, yeah, I knew it was something. Where I am now is, I knew where I was meant to be, but I just clearly wasn't ready for it.
When are you at your most relaxed? What do you do that makes you feel grounded?
Definitely to have time to myself. So taking walks is definitely something I do regularly now. And I think, you know, going through lockdown has definitely introduced that side of things, having that time to do it and seeing the benefits of it. Journaling really helps as well with me, connect with myself, what I'm thinking, how I'm feeling, keeping on top of that, because I think it's so important. And I've learned to sit in silence a lot, not necessarily meditating. It is a meditative process, but it's just sitting down and just being observant of what thoughts you have in the moment, you know, how you're feeling, and think about maybe aspirations, where you want to go, and not making it specifically intentional of like, I have to think nothing, and like, you know, all that pressure of like what people try to not do, meditate. So yeah, just having time myself, that really helps to ground me, because learning to trust yourself requires building a relationship with yourself. And learning to build a relationship with yourself, you have to listen to who you are, like what your thoughts are, spend that time on your own to do whatever it is that you need to feel and do and think in that moment, and giving yourself time and space to do it. And that's, yeah, that really helps to ground me a lot.
And Are you kind to yourself?
I am. I could be so much more. I am. I'm working again on being more kind. And when I say kind, it's more about, you know, the inner dialogue. When you do something, I mean, you think, oh, I could have done this better, or, you know, they're being very, very critical of yourself. I definitely could be more kind. I'm definitely learning to bring my awareness to it a lot more so that I can actually identify it and not just believe it immediately. So yeah, taking that time to be more kind, and also through gratitude as well, is a really good way to learn to be, again, more present, to catch and increase my self-awareness, to be able to catch those thoughts when it's like, no, I did great, I did amazing, I did it, you know, I brought value, whatever it is, rather than looking at what I could have done better and, you know, beating myself up. Absolutely not. So yeah, I'm kind, but I could be a lot kinder.
And you've talked a lot about your family, and I'm wondering if this is going to be within your answer, but what have been the biggest influences in your life, good and bad?
Yeah, so my mom and my nan are definitely really good influences in my life through their wisdom, really, to be quite honest with you. And definitely with my nan, it's her energy is what I admire so much about her, and the strength of her, like, because she's a faithful woman, so she's very spiritual. And I admire that. I absolutely admire that. So yeah, that's been a really, really positive influence in my life. And my mum, again, just her pure strength and resilience, and, you know, her love as well, because she taught me how to love as well. And bad influences. To be quite honest, I feel like social media is a bad influence. You know, because there's so many people, there's so many messages on what you see, and then you think, oh, maybe that's what I need to be doing, you know, and it kind of influences you to try things that are not for you, but it's triggering something in you to be like, something you don't have, so you aspire to want. But it's an unrealistic expectation, again. And that is a terrible influence, absolutely terrible. Can influence you to feel terrible about yourself. And I felt like that, of course, absolutely. So I feel like, I don't think I have a person specific in my lifetime that negatively influenced me to do things. But I think as a whole, social media, and what, you know, I'm consuming can, absolutely. And also the news as well. Not that I watch much of it anymore, but when you're consistently fed sometimes the news cycle, it doesn't have a great feeling. You don't always feel great after watching it. And that influences you to feel and do things, like whether it's go and overeat some sugar because you feel terrible about the way the life is, you know, and society is, and all of these protests and stuff like that. You know it's happening, but it negatively impacts you, how you feel about yourself, how you feel about other people, and then it's just a spiral. So yeah, I would say social media and media as a whole is a negative influence in my life. Yes,
absolutely. When it comes to friendships, what qualities do you look for in other people? And has that changed over the years?
I would say that with friendships, I take them very seriously. So I always have as a child. So I feel like with friendships, I value, of course, trust and love in a way that I receive it, if that makes sense. So, you know, I'm someone that likes spending quality time with people. You know, I do things, like I like to, like, gifts and, like, you know, do things like acts of love in a way. And I feel like with my friends, they have to almost be a bit similar, have that value as well for me to see their love, if that makes sense, for me to receive it in that way. So trust, love, loyalty, of course, like, you know, defending me if I ever need defense, you know, having my back if ever I need that. I'm not typically someone that gets into situations, but you just don't know. It could be the smallest thing. I want to know that that person, when you're not there, is speaking well of you to other people, and you know, continuing that perception of who you are. Being able to be vulnerable as well with me, because I'm a bit of a deep person. I struggle with the surface stuff, or more, I'm really about the emotions and feelings about things. So being able to be open and be vulnerable, I feel like is really, really important. And I think as I've got older, especially stepped into the entrepreneurial space, having friends that that I can learn from as well, you know, they've got a different experience that I'm able to model potentially, or learn something from their experience, is definitely something I also look for in newer friends. As you know, you get older, you meet different people. So yeah, I feel like, yeah, my friends, what I look for, the value that I look for in friendships now, are pretty much the same as when I was young, but with the exception now of a little bit more of, what can I learn from you as well? What more can I learn? I don't know, that's not in my world already.
Great. And I've got the killer question here, the one that started really this whole investigation, this journey into female wisdom. What advice would you give a younger version of yourself? And is there a story, is there a narrative from where that comes from?
I would say the advice I would give my younger self is very similar to what I've said already, that learn to trust who you are. I learn to trust that gut feeling that you have in your stomach, because it's not nerves, it's not doubt, it's not negative. It's telling you something that's only going to help you progress in whatever given situation it is. And there's many times as a teenager that I had that feeling in my stomach, and then something, so it was like almost like you shouldn't be here, like that type of feeling. And then not long after, something happened, like if you had a party, like I was in uni, there's loads of parties and stuff like that, and when it's like, you know, you need to go to this, or you shouldn't go here, when I ignore it and do the complete opposite, something happens. Like, you know, club gets shut down, there's a fight, there's just something that happens that is like, I should not be here. like, why am I here? Absolutely not. I should not be here. It's too late then, obviously, because you're there. But learning that those like signs and those feelings, they're not just there for the sake of it. They're actually there to actually help and guide you, keep you safe, and keep you progressing forward to wherever it is that you need to go. So really learning, I would definitely advise my younger self, like, trust yourself. Because when you do that, you're never going to steer yourself in the wrong place. But when your head is like, no, it's not the right time, or oh, I don't think this is going to work for you, or so-and-so, you know, may have thoughts about it, to not go with your head in that time, to just not go with the logic or the strategy or the rationale behind it, but to go with your heart and truly just the overall sense of what you feel like you should do without the pressure coming from up top. So yeah, learning to trust yourself, just trust who you are. That's the best, only way I can describe, trust who you are.
That's great. And I'd like to ask, you've had these questions for a few weeks before our interview today, and obviously we've gone through them now. What have you gained from doing this, this reflection, this thinking about your life in this way?
I think I've definitely gained a lot of awareness of how big my family plays a part in me, who I am, their experiences and their wisdom that I ordinarily would think I ignored, but clearly not. It sat with me. It's in my subconscious. It's something I live by. And just really, I suppose, wanted to appreciate them more now, not in the future, but now. And spending that time with them, I think, definitely. And definitely that I feel like I'm quite a wise person. I feel that I've been fortunate in my life so far to get to where I am, how I've got here, and not really going through terrible traumatic experiences to be able to get here also. So really feeling very fortunate, like being able to reflect back to younger years and, you know where the wisdom that I have comes from. And it's not just something that I just was like given, like from a stranger. It's something that was passed down within my DNA. And being able to be on this journey and reflecting has brought that up. And I really appreciate it. I really do. Really do. It's all about knowing where you come from. And I've had to think about that in this experience. Absolutely. So yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. There are obviously 8 interviews in this series with women aging from 20 to 90. They will be available, and I'm curious, which is going to be the decade year that you go and listen to first?
I think I'd probably go for the 80, to be quite honest with you, to really hear the experiences that an 80-year-old has gone through and what they've learned up until that point. Because, yeah, I'd be really intrigued to hear. Because I'm so, like, in love with my nan and her energy and her life experience. I'm just fascinated, like, what have you gone through? You know, like, more than twice my age. What have you gone through that I can learn from and to take that and see how I can use that in my life as well? So, yeah, I think the 80s, I'm really interested to hear what their experiences were.
Fabulous. And I've got a last playful question. This has received quite interesting answers. Not that I'm going to put any bias on you on this or make any suggestions.
Yeah.
Inside yourself, do you ever feel like you've stuck at an age?
I have, actually, because I don't really know what a 30-year-old feels like. Like, you know, I don't. And I think, you know, I was talking to my godmother yesterday and she was talking about her will, right, in her will. And just as she was talking about it, I said, this is such an adult thing to do. Which obviously shows that in my head, I was like, that's not for my age. So I almost feel like I'm still in my 20s, maybe like early mid-20s in that respect. Not knowing what a 30-year-old is meant to, or feels like, or thinks like, or you know, what that image is meant to look like. I don't know. Obviously, we create our own images. But in that way, I feel like I'm still in my 20s somewhere, mid-20s somewhere, because I'm still calling things, that's an adult thing to do.
I think you will be interested to hear the ages that the other women say that they're stuck at.
Really?
20s is quite popular.
Yeah, it's a good time. At the time, you don't feel like it's the best. But once you're out of your 20s, you're like, oh, it was great.
Yeah, there's a sense of freedom, I think, in your 20s. And I think there's where the world is just impossibly large and all possibilities are open. Yeah. I think that's possibly something to do with that. I don't know, but it's a very interesting question to ask. And I find everybody is not the age that they are. And that's what fascinates me.
Yeah, absolutely. We're as young as we feel. I agree. We think.
Ashley, thank you so much for talking to me today and being so open and sharing your life in the way that you have. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this experience. Like, you really have captured different stages of growth 100% in this format. So I really appreciate it. Thank you for giving me the space and time to be able to do that and reflect. But yeah, I can't wait to listen to the rest. I really can't.